This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
The scream sounded a little bit more like you were falling than introducing people to the show, so it made me laugh. Ah! Which
some people are falling.
Some people are falling.
Tuesday, December 20th, the Fantasy Footballers welcome in. Yeah, I mean,
infinitely. Jason Moore is infinitely falling.
There was today's the waiver show. Very important.
Yeah, timed it. Look, at least we timed it right.
We've got, yesterday, I mean, we had the really good news. Jason had a good day in the beginning of the day. Bijan.
Please remind me.
Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
Declared for the NFL draft. A lot of folks have traded for Dynasty 101s, and they wanted to see that happen. And you weren't sure. You thought that was happening, but you weren't sure. So that was good news. Happened right here on the show. It was a delight.
Oh, the good old days. I'm old enough to remember that.
And so things were going pretty good during the course of the day. And, then they weren't. And Jason got some news. Jalen Hurts.
We're just leaving him in the blue sadness.
This is how I feel. This is who I am.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I am sad and blue because Jalen Hurts, my guy, the quarterback I have everywhere, the number one quarterback, isn't with me any longer. He's gone for the playoffs.
Well, probably.
And the doom scrolling that took place yesterday when the rumors started to happen before the reports. And so it was everything from Jalen Hurts collarbone is, you saw the odds. I mean, that was the tip for everybody is the MVP odds for Jalen Hurts. He was the favorite. He was like -150. They started to dip and dip and dip. And then the line for the Dallas Philadelphia game started to change and change and change. So you knew something was up.
You know what I know is up? That all these sports books have inside guys that is pretty it feels like it should be illegal because they knew what was going on before the world knew what was going on. It is devastating. It is sad. There are certain situations that you can't do anything about, You know, like if you had him in the Megalo Bowl and like I decided, well, I'm not going to win the Megalo Bowl if he goes down. I'm not going to have a backup quarterback. I'm not winning the Megalo Bowl.
Those sentences were correct. I mean, they were.
But I do think, like as someone who, you know, has relied on him and is trying to push through, I want to win this championship in spite of losing Jalen Hurts. There is hope, I think, for Jalen Hurts managers. I was listening to Dr. David Chow talk about the injury, and he said, you know, if they needed to play, he could absolutely play this week. He could take a shot and he'd be fine. This is not a super serious injury. Now, I don't think there's any chance he plays this week against Dallas. He could tough it out, go after that MVP trophy. It's a divisional matchup. So, you know, don't be moving on from him. That being said, if you could stream this week, the matchups without Jalen Hurts, it's possible that they lose to the Cowboys. That's a tough matchup anyways. Cowboys are favored. And if the Minnesota Vikings win their matchup that they are favored for, that could put pressure on Jalen Hurts to come back for the championship week in week 17. That is my current prayer. And I'm hoping that is what happens if I can make it to week 17.
Yeah, just to lay
that out, Eagles fans, Jason Moore praying for your team to lose at Jason FFL.
Just for a week.
Well,
you're fine. You're going to get the number one seed. Let me have this.
This is the tough part. I mean, yesterday on the show, we talked about worries about playoff positioning affecting usage, right? And I unfortunately may have uttered the words, well, McCaffrey's who I'm worried about. Jalen Hurts will be fine.
You did this.
But here we are. And so Gardner Minshew is the most likely starter for the Dallas game. And frankly, you know, I saw a lot of people, and we're going to talk about it on the, you know, we got streaming quarterbacks today, and we'll take more time with that to lay out some options.
Which did we, Jalen Hurts has a sprained shoulder. I don't know if we ever actually...
Right,
it's probably important to break the news.
If we said what happened.
It is his throwing shoulder, so that makes it a little bit more complicated. But yes, sprained shoulder.
So Gardner Minshew, if I had to, you know, he's a very capable backup.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal to be in Dallas for your, you know, opportunity. So I know some people will have to pivot directly into Gardner Minshew, but it's not my favorite pick.
His last start was the last game of last year against Dallas, where he was the quarterback 17, 14 fantasy points in a game script where they lost, had to throw a lot, did throw for two touchdowns, one pick, didn't run much.
About exactly what your peak is this week.
It does.
I feel like overall Philadelphia is just, they're a better team. And Dallas Goedert was activated, so all signs point to he will be playing this weekend, and It's like the Brock Purdy situation of, it's not the quarterback you want, but at least the foundation around him is excellent. Like Gardner Minshew last year did not have A.J. Brown, and now the team has A.J. Brown, a second-year Devontae Smith, a breaking-out Dallas Goedert. So the situation is at least optimal for a backup quarterback to come into.
Other than the matchup.
Yes.
And being on the road against Dallas is not exciting.
Yeah, where are you guys with their defense? Like the last couple weeks they've not, like that game against the Houston Texans that carried over, and Trevor Lawrence was sensational against them. Like Trevor Lawrence, you could have been concerned to play him. You didn't have to be. He was great. I'm not saying that Gardner Minshew is as good as Trevor Lawrence is right now, but they're, you know, things are changing for the Cowboys, it feels like.
Well, they've definitely had some injuries on offense. They lost a couple players this last game. So maybe it's a little bit more winnable a matchup, but it's obviously a very important game for Dallas, so they'll be up for that game as well.
Any consideration? I mean, let's just start with the man who's most affected by it, Jason. You have Jalen Hurts. He's been a big piece of your run towards a title. Are you glancing at Gardner's direction at all? That's a pretty easy question.
I am glancing Gardner's direction, not just for myself, but also for keep away. It just so happens that the team I'm playing is a team that lost Kyler Murray, that we have both made it to this round of the playoffs. And so I am going to probably put in a bid on him. I previously picked up Geno Smith, who is a player that I would look for on waivers. He had a terrible matchup this last week. Very possible that he was just dropped while people need players. And he's going to Kansas City, but he loses Tyler Lockett. So that's going to be something I toil with all week.
Well, let's press pause on the quarterback discussions. We'll get into it at the end of the waivers and talk through a number of different interesting matchups. We had the football game last night, Packers 24, Rams 12. Didn't go the way some people hoped it went for a few of these options, but nice games from Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, two touchdowns.
Oh, man.
Also 35 receiving yards. Thanks for showing up now.
He morphed. The sentiment on Twitter was he was back to good old A.J. Villain of just taking the touchdowns away from Aaron Jones there at the beginning of the game. But Jones was questionable. What was it, his ankle? I don't remember what his injury was coming into the weekend. But so it wasn't super surprising that Dillon was getting a healthy amount of work at the beginning of the game, but then Aaron Jones came through. So everything was okay for the running backs, not so much the pass catchers.
Or the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, one touchdown, one interception. If his name wasn't Aaron Rodgers, he wouldn't be part of the conversation for next week. Cam Akers, 12 for 65, 3 for 35 through the air. Not great. Romeo Doubs
somehow led the team. What?
And then you had Christian Watson, 4 for 46. This was the
super disappointing,
the devastating story of the night, right? And Jason, I know you have Christian Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, I was fine with Christian Watson. This was obviously disappointing fantasy finish. If you had him, hope you didn't need him.
Right.
But as far as utilization, usage, what I saw from this game, I was not displeased for the future. You had two plays that should have been touchdowns. One where they designed him right near the 5 yard line he crosses right in front of Aaron Rodgers and just barely doesn't break the tackle to get in. And then the other one, Aaron Rodgers calls a hot read to him and he just doesn't turn around. So there was a miscommunication there, but they were trying to get him a touchdown near the goal line. And the rest of the game script, they were in complete control of this game, and the Rams were having a hard time stopping the run in this cold weather environment. I wasn't expecting that the Packers were going to have to throw a lot on this version of the Los Angeles Rams. So I'm not too disappointed going forward. Very disappointed in the total output of, 46 yards?
A.J. Dillon, was the concussion confirmed? Because he left to be evaluated.
Never came back, so I would assume he's in protocol.
Yeah, but that will be something to watch. Not that people are counting on A.J. Dillon, but if he enters the protocol, if we get that news, I mean, Aaron Jones will be a very strong. Oh yeah, you're matched up.
Yeah. I know.
Aaron Jones will be a much stronger play.
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great. I hope I'm doing as well as A.J. Dillon's doing. I hope you're just feeling great today.
I don't know if he's doing well.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's so healthy.
Just based on how you're doing.
He's his. You ask him a math question right now. He'll nail it.
Okay. All right. Stay with us, Foot Clan, for this whole week. Jason going into a semifinal matchup in our very important league of record.
I would say, before we jump into the news, just a couple bits of house cleaning here. Number one, footclanvote.com. If you haven't headed there, and we're up for a couple Signal awards, it's a voting process. It will take you 2 minutes at the most, would be very appreciated. We are up for best video podcast, best commute podcast. So thank you so much for the support so far. Let's take this thing home. And then number two, due to the holiday, football is all over the place this weekend, but it is Christmas Eve. It is Christmas on Sunday. There will be no live stream. But I believe in the Foot Clan. I believe you can. You can handle this one particular weekend as we spend it with our families. So when the tweets inevitably come in and say, where's the live? I told you.
Mike is opening presents with his kids right when that is happening. So
by that, I mean all the presents that my children have brought to me.
Right. Yeah.
We do reverse Christmas.
The kids have to figure out.
Yep.
You give them a budget and then
teach them a lesson. Mm-hmm. You stay up till 3 in the morning on Christmas Eve, you little monsters.
Still got quite a bit of wrapping to do.
Oh, man, I'm sitting at a cool 0.0%.
Of the wrapping?
Yeah.
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 That's something we could improve, like, in society. Like, the process of having to wrap, like, I don't know. Is that a thing where, like, some people know how and some people don't and there's nothing you could do to learn?
That's exactly right.
I think so,
yeah. It's like a genetic thing. Yep. Like, you could look up your 23andMe and see that I don't have the wrapping gene. Because I don't.
I can wrap.
I make some ugly-looking stuff, which in my head I think doesn't matter, right? You just gotta, oh, you're trying to get to the gift.
Oh, it's,
I'm not going, ooh. Oh.
I subscribe to good enough.
I can wrap a mean present and it'll look nice. That's one day per
one
present.
One full day. I was gonna say, you are particular.
Forever to wrap. I'm so slow. And Amazon, Bezos, if you're listening, let's solve this. Let me just order it wrapped.
I think
okay.
they do
no,
that.
No. I mean good.
Oh.
Like, I mean like, I'm
like ready for the tree.
Exactly. I want to be able to take this, put it right to the tree.
What would you pay? What premium would you pay for that?
I would pay a good premium. It needs to be labeled. I need to, you know, I need to know what's in there and have a to and from thing. I want a bow on this sucker.
You
and
know,
then, I'll pay a premium.
You know how when you're driving around and you'll see all the signs that say Christmas lights and you want it, we'll come put them up. Has anyone ever done wrapping?
Oh man, they should.
Like
that's pretty smart.
I will come to
they
your
come
house.
To your house.
I will
wrap
come
all
to your house
gifts?
And I will wrap all your presents for you.
I don't want them in my house.
This is I'll set the gifts outside.
Yeah, you can put them in the backyard.
Yeah,
just saying. Like a
you
personal,
don't want them in your house.
A well, personal wrapper.
They can't wrap all the kids awake. This is like nighttime. I'm saying, yeah, just set up like those stands, like the 4th of July.
What, on the corners?
Yeah.
You're taking them down to the corner?
Absolutely. Drop them down, pick them up an hour or two later.
This is very
interesting. That's not bad either. I mean, there's a solution here. There's a business opportunity.
Come
America.
On, America. We have like 2 days. Let's let's build these businesses up.
You should just put all the Christmas gifts, because we all buy them on Amazon anyway. They should just hold them all, wrap them all, and mail them in like a Santa sack.
Ooh. And maybe Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Come into your house?
Well, yeah, now we're back in the house. Okay, right. Moving on.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
We got Papa Josh in the Slack saying he's great at rapping. Are we buying this?
I will have him
you
wrap
think
all
Papa
my
Josh
gifts.
Can rap?
You're telling me that in one of the many lives that Papa Josh and the jobs that he's done, he wasn't up north as an elf?
I guess that's probable.
Because, see, I put that at a 75%.
I guess at his age, he probably worked at the prime of, like, Sears and stuff like that when they did the wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that makes sense.
Also, Sears existed.
It's
exposing your age.
He lived in the...
Is Sears around anymore?
I think there's a handful of them.
I think they still do, like, automotive care or something.
I don't know. I think
clawing.
Sears might actually be around.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. But it was in its heyday when Josh was...
So they don't have their tower. They lost the naming rights to that thing years ago.
Yeah. All right, news. We talked about the Jalen Hurts injury. He could miss the next 2 weeks. Like Jason said, I mean, basically the situation is if the Vikings lose a game or the Eagles win a game, it's locked because they have the tiebreaker and it's a two-game gap with 3 games to go. So if either of those things happen, Philadelphia is locked into the bye week. And that could determine whether Hurts plays next week. Dallas Goedert is back in week 16. Jonathan Taylor, injured reserve. Goodbye. He's gone.
Yeah.
And today's a waiver show, so we'll talk about backup options. Colt McCoy, concussion day-to-day. Ryan Tannehill, uphill battle to be ready for week 16 against the Texans. Malik Willis started against Houston earlier this year. Here's your grunt,
here's
Jason.
Your
was that,
lining,
myself.
That you thought that maybe Derrick Henry would be bad, but earlier this year, 32 carries, 219 yards. Did you hear that? 32 carries.
And that is the hope for Derrick Henry managers, is that he's going to be the entirety of the offense. I still would rather have Tannehill there to make sure if things go wrong. The Houston Texans have been surprising people lately, but obviously this will run through Derrick Henry, and he usually – I mean, he has the Texans' number.
If you get Malik Willis, you're going to delete
Chig
Azigbo and
Okonkwo.
Oh, wow.
You went Divine Azigbo.
I went Divine Azigbo. Chig Okonkwo, and even if Treylon Burks was back, you just delete them. The pass attempts won't be there.
Yeah, totally agree.
Khalil Herbert expected to return to practice this week.
Welcome back,
Mr. Herbert.
Saw a big
game from Montgomery last week.
He said, I can do that.
Jeff Wilson was close to playing in week 15. So we might get Jeff Wilson back. Tough start sit decisions with Raheem Mostert. Cortland Sutton is, quote, potentially available to play football in week 16.
Okay.
That's not the kind of, you know, he's taking on the Rams. But Jerry Jeudy is back. I'd play Jeudy well ahead of Sutton.
When Sutton is on the field right now, he's potentially available to catch passes, too.
That's about it. Yeah, I would probably try to find a better option that's trending the right direction.
Can you imagine? This is a Christmas Day game. The schedule makers, they said, oh, man, the Broncos with Russell Wilson against the Super Bowl champion Rams. This is going to be just a Christmas miracle game. And this might be the worst game of the season. This version of the Rams versus this version of the Broncos is something that I don't want to watch.
Zach Wilson will start for the Jets. Mike White is not cleared for contact. So there you go.
The Bills ruined everything, man.
This is Thursday Night Football, right?
Yeah.
So we have the Jets and Zach Wilson in prime time. Prepare your memes.
Let the world see you, Zach.
I mean, he has an opportunity, right? Go have a great game.
Sure. Yes, the opportunity is there.
What's that matchup? Remind me.
Jacksonville?
Oh, gosh.
He has an opportunity.
He does. I hope we get a game. I mean, if you want to repeat what you got from Trevor Lawrence and company, you need the Jets to keep up. Or it's not going to happen. So, yeah. And then Matthew Stafford confirmed he is not retiring.
Yep, I thought he would retire for sure. But he confirmed this good source, his wife's podcast.
Yes.
Even better source, him on it. It was from his mouth saying like they.
Was she going like, you're going to retire, right?
No, she was saying that she's been saying it, but people won't believe her because she knew the answer.
Oh, that he wasn't?
Yeah, so it's like, will you just let people know? He's like, yeah, I'm not retiring. Also, one other piece of
news.
That's
good for Cooper Kupp managers.
Absolutely.
It's huge.
One other small piece of news for next year, but it was reported that there was some meniscus issue. It was a clean ACL quote for Kyler Murray, but there was also meniscus tear. So that just makes the recovery timeline for next year something to remember in draft season. A little bit dicier for that week one.
Okay. That was today's news notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Quick break and back with the waivers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. To learn more and get a quote, restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. It's been a busy week, man. There's a lot going on.
It's tough. Tuesday.
And let me ask you this before we jump into the waivers real quick. Where are you with lineup decisions, first instincts versus the late week tweaks, and how do you psychologically look at that decision-making process? Because I know we've all been down the road of, you know, you feel confident, you make your lineup, and you just move forward, or you sit there and you've done the Sunday morning back and forth before kickoff. Do you think that there's a better way to do it?
No, I mean, I just going back, this is obviously anecdotal, but I feel like usually your first decision is the better one. When I think of, and it's probably because we just remember our losses, but when I make the last second changes, it's usually a negative, with the exception of actual changing news. You know, we talk about how...
Yeah, you want to react to actual news, but the more so the ones where you are locked in, but then you're going...
Yeah, you're second guessing yourself. Yeah. You know, so like for instance, I picked up Geno Smith for this last week. That's who I presume I'm playing. I'm going to question him versus Gardner Minshew all week, and so I guess right now I'm saying stick with it. Stick with Geno. Don't be a fool. But I will.
No lock it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
good matchup.
It's going to be tough. Yeah. It's going to be a very difficult thing to not second guess. And, you know, you'd hate to be in a position where, you know, I know someone last night, Tutu Atwell versus Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs had a quote, came out, limited snaps.
He did play limited snaps.
Yeah, and then but he was the better play.
But apparently,
because the other player was Tutu Atwell.
It was a bad drop that might have scored.
Yeah. But also, I mean, Romeo Doubs, just target monster. Who knew?
All right, well, into the waivers we go.
Welcome to The Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy.
All right, it is time to dive into what wide receivers we're going to welcome into the fold for the all-important Week 16. You've got some interesting names. Let's start with your favorite. You know, Treylon Burks was entering my favorite category. Yeah. And it is now somebody that I'm not going to sign him because I can't play him. Like, yep. I just don't have any confidence off the injury with the Tannehill injury.
And next week would be Dallas for Burke. So,
Yeah, I think we got to take him off the list. And the truth is if Tannehill, even if he suits up, he may not finish. And that puts a tremendous amount of risk on a player that, I mean, do you agree with this, Jason? Because Treylon Burks, it's not like he's been a staple of consistency.
There's no way you could play him with Malik Willis. Malik Willis had 10 pass attempts last time that, you know, he played as a starter against this same Houston Texans team. So, no, I do think, obviously, if Ryan Tannehill is out there, if you're in a pinch, I'd be willing to look his way. But at this point in the week when you've got to make your claims, you know, Treylon Burks maybe is a $0 last of my order waiver wire pickups. There are other guys that you would prefer ahead of him.
Is Elijah Moore one of the names that you'd prefer ahead of Treylon Burks?
I would certainly prefer Elijah Moore ahead. As of right now, we're not entirely sure whether or not Corey Davis will be there.
Limited participant in practice yesterday.
Denzel Mims got knocked out with a concussion too.
Right, and they have the short week, so I would expect Elijah Moore is another good play against Jacksonville. The matchup doesn't scare me. Obviously, the quarterback play does with Zach Wilson, but last week he was serviceable, so Elijah Moore is certainly in contention.
Near the top of the list for me is Jahan Dotson, rookie wide receiver for the Washington Commanders.
Agree.
Because if I'm going to put somebody out there, you're kind of making a couple different decisions. You're going for, I guess you would say, like kind of floor PPR type of plays, or you're going for an athlete, and that, you know, you think of the Jahan Dotson, the potential of George Pickens, those type of players. Dotson has scored in 5 games this year. He scored in 2 consecutive games, a top 20 wide receiver in both of them. And Jason, you've said it a million times on the show, you know, the rookie wide receivers, the ascension that we see at the end of the year. Look back to Amon-Ra St. touchdown at the end of last year, winning people championships. He was on the waiver wire, you know, as early as last week. So it wasn't like this obvious thing that everybody says, well, it's definitely going to happen. No, nobody had him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I see Dotson as, is somebody that, you know, is building a rapport with Heineke. He's obviously getting better and getting into the end zone.
Yeah, he's a first round wide receiver draft pick in the NFL for a reason. He comes out his rookie season and was a top 24 wide receiver 3 of his first 4 weeks. Granted, those were touchdown base, but I mean that means he can score.
He's a touchdown guy. I mean,
absolutely. In the last 2 weeks, he's been a top 20. He would probably be my number one wide receiver pickup. It's risky. It's against the San Francisco 49ers, who they are obviously a very good defense. They're going to have a great pass rush, but they shut down the run more than the pass. So I'm okay with Jahan Dotson because the ceiling, I think, is there for, you know, how many of these guys, honestly, Chris Moore is still a pickup to me.
He is,
but
for me,
what
too.
Is his ceiling? Chris Moore's ceiling versus Jahan Dotson, who has the chance to score two touchdowns? Like, not Chris Moore.
Probably not, but I think Moore, we saw it 2 weeks ago what he can do in Tennessee as the pass funnel defense. So Chris Moore's number two on my list.
He
behind Jahan Dotson because the targets, like, I know he's getting 8 to 10 targets.
He's getting 8 to 10 targets. If that
yeah, Cooks and Collins.
He can't be number two for me because you still have to watch Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins practice reports. I don't know if they come back to football this year. We don't know the full extent of what's going on with them. If they're out, then Chris Moore is very interesting. A couple more names that I think are intriguing this week. Russell Gage gets the Arizona Cardinals. That one
17%
has
17% rostered right now. 8 for 59 and 2 last week.
Yeah, off of 12 targets, 62% of the snaps. This was the Russell Gage that people were starting to you were getting excited for him as the third wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then they picked up Julio Jones, and it kind of destroyed all of that hope and that momentum. Julio Jones didn't play last week. I'm not sure what his status is.
That's the same as Moore to me.
It's very similar, except you're playing the Arizona Cardinals, and it's still Tom Brady. I'd rather trust Tom Brady than over a Houston quarterback. And then the second name, who I think is I'm gonna change my rankings and move him up. He's a 1 week rental. It's Marquise Goodwin,
absolutely
against the Kansas City Chiefs. He will be the plug and play replacement for Tyler Lockett. He is nowhere near as good as Tyler Lockett, but Lockett's a top tier wide receiver. But his opportunity's fantastic. He's come through already a couple times in this offense, and they're going to have to score. The Seattle Seahawks will not hold down the Kansas City Chiefs offense, forcing passing, and DK Metcalf and Marquise Goodwin, I think, look pretty good right now.
I agree with everything you just said. Those are my next two targets as well. Russell Gage has a great upcoming schedule. It's not just Arizona, but Arizona, Carolina, and if you play in week 18, you've got Atlanta. So if Russell Gage kind of establishes that wide receiver three spot, maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get it together, great. And then obviously Goodwin this week against Kansas City. They're going to need him. We just saw him with 95 yards and a touchdown. He's had a couple big games. And if you're looking for a start, you have to start someone this week. This isn't a long-term thing. Goodwin is as good as anyone out there on the waivers for who should be able to get 10 fantasy points this week.
We're getting back to great win category?
I think
we
so.
We could be.
Now
he's he's a good player.
He is a good player. He's got Olympic-level speed, and I think it matches up pretty well against Kansas City Chiefs. That being said, this is going to be one of many super cold games in Kansas City. Feels like below zero type temperature. So that's never fun for the passers.
Yeah, and then you saw huge steps back for Ben Skowronek and Tutu Atwell this past week. They couldn't do anything yesterday with Baker.
But they got a really good matchup this week.
Mm-hmm. On Christmas.
Denver Broncos.
No, you don't touch any of them. Yep. And then, you know, you've seen Richie James. You've seen involvement from Isaiah Hodgins. So desperate times, if you need starts, those guys will be out there.
The wide receiver, it's very top heavy.
KJ Osborne, you're chasing a week that isn't extremely prescriptive for me. I mean,
that's chasing the dragon.
You've basically had, you know, he had a pretty big week in week three and then disappeared for all of 10 weeks and then showed back up. So that's a tough one. They were throwing the ball a billion times in that game. They play the Giants this week. I don't know if I'd chase.
I don't, and call me crazy, I don't think they're going to be down 33 to nothing before the half. And that's what caused last week's explosion. KJ Osborne, I think, is a good player. I like him, but to rely on him when he could very realistically be the fourth target in the offense, it's hard to put him in your starting lineup.
I agree. And you can see all our waiver wire rankings on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, for wide receivers. Let's dive into what running backs we are welcoming into the fold this week. Again, on the waiver show, we are targeting lower roster percentage players. And so right around 50-50, according to, I believe, Sleeper, is Jerick McKinnon. I mean, this one is not – I mean, this is the layup of the week in terms of if he's there, you have to fight for him because he has back-to-back number one finishes at the running back position.
Yeah, and he's got a great matchup against Seattle. But let's assume he is rostered in your competitive leagues. And then that
– Here we go.
I mean, the question that I think most fantasy managers have is how hard do you go after the Jonathan Taylor replacement and who is it? The situation is this. You have Zach Moss, who had the lion's share of the workload in replacement. As the game went on, it got even larger. No matter how bad he sucked, Jeff Saturday and the Colts team said, you're the guy we're relying on. Now, Andy pointed out in the studio that because Deion Jackson is there, and Deion Jackson is better. He's just a better running back. He's looked good. He got the touchdown last week. He was far more efficient on every single carry. However, he fumbled the ball. And when that fumble happened, that's when the splits were not so 50-50, and they gave much more work. I mean, they didn't want to, you know, fumble the game away and lose when they were up by so much. So they kept giving the ball to Zach Moss. So you have a question here of, like, is Zach Moss going to be the leader of this timeshare in a significant way, a 60-40, 70-30 situation where he's the guy that the Colts are going to rely on, which I think has a realistic outcome?
No.
Or is it 50-50?
No, I think it's not even 50-50.
You think Deion Jackson takes over as the lead?
I think Deion Jackson will have the majority of opportunities. And I think that comes down to my, you know, you have to write up what you think the game script's going to be. Do you believe the Chargers are going to put points up on the Colts? Yes. Okay, who's the pass catcher? Deion Jackson's going to be out there for the pass catching, in my opinion.
Sure. Zach Moss did run more routes than Deion Jackson as well. So I don't think they have firm roles as one's a pass catcher, one's not. But here's the reality. He's the better player. Deion Jackson... Like, let's say you go out there and you tell me Zach Moss gets the ball 19 times and Deion Jackson gets the ball 14 times. I will absolutely take the fantasy points bet on Deion Jackson having more fantasy points than Zach Moss in that situation.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I just think last game was not really indicative of their plans. I think if you told me I need a big guy to run into the back of my own lineman's butt and try to waste the clock out so we don't blow a 33-0 lead, I think you pick Zach Moss in that situation. If you want a more dynamic player, you pick Deion Jackson. So I'm more on that side. I'm not saying it's impossible that Zach Moss could be the guy. I would be fighting tooth and nail for someone like Tyler Algier over either of those names. Tyler Algier is 39% rostered, but you know, people don't realize how good he's been and how committed the team is to him. If Cordarrelle Patterson was out on the waiver wire right now, what would we be discussing in the running back section? Nobody looks at Tyler Algier that way, but he gets more opportunities on the ground than Patterson every single week.
Caleb Huntley is now out with an Achilles injury. It's not a huge amount of snaps, but it's more snaps.
And I know you don't like the matchups because, you know, Baltimore's not a fun one on the road. The Falcons do not care who they're playing, where they're playing, what the score is. They will hand the ball off to the running backs over and over and over again. Algier was 17 for 139 against the New Orleans front last week. You know, if McKinnon is presumably rostered, which in any competitive league he 100% is, after last week's RB1 finish, so he's not even really worth the discussion. I'm going Algier over Jackson and Moss.
I will go Deion Jackson over Algier. Like I will go far harder the other way, and I think Algier's a good pickup as well. But the fact that the matchup, if I have to start one of these guys, the matchup against the Chargers versus on the road, Baltimore, the chance at, you know, I think both offenses are about the same quality as, you know, ability to put up points. And Deion Jackson, going beyond that, plays the Giants and the Houston Texans rest of the season. Both of these situations are...
Algier gets the Cardinals in 2 weeks.
Both of these situations, you know, Caleb Huntley is done for the season. Jonathan Taylor is done. But Caleb Huntley, I think, the last several weeks has been sub five opportunities in each game. So Jonathan Taylor being gone, I think you have a chance that Deion Jackson is, you know, is a league winner. So that's the player I'm going after.
I don't disagree that there is a chance that one of those guys could become that, but and I if when I'm making my bet, I'm putting it on Deion Jackson too. Between him and Moss.
Gotcha.
Of which of the Indianapolis Colts is the breakout? I mean, also remember the plan for that game all week was Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game plan, and then it was we have to react in real time and try and figure out what are we going to do here. Again, it could still end up it could be Zach Moss. That's why, and so that's why I'm with Andy. Of I'm going to go Tyler Allgeier, even though the matchup isn't nearly as good, but I know for sure what his role is in the offense. So and at this point, it's a very strange bet of huge upside. But if you miss, it could be a complete whiff where Tyler Allgeier will at least be steady and has some upside because he's been pretty good considering his situation.
I just wanted to look back and remind myself 24 carries. For Zach Moss, and he scored 8 fantasy points.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna have to make your call based off of the information that we've laid out.
At least there's good
what
options
you believe.
Here. Good I options mean, to go after.
Yeah, yep. Deion Jackson has a great opportunity against the Chargers this week. Allgeier, Arizona next week for the championship week. Cam Akers, you know he's going to get a decent amount of touches. Probably rostered.
Plays Denver.
What do you do with the Chuba Hubbard, Deonta Foreman situation? Hubbard was awful. Deonta Foreman was awful. Hubbard caught 3 passes, which is redeemable.
If you have to pick someone up, you can't get the other guys on the list. Hubbard is an okay pickup, but he's playing against Detroit. The Lions have been shutting down the run completely over the last 2 months. So I'm not excited about Hubbard. And hopefully you don't have to start one of those guys. I would rather roster someone like Jordan Mason, Alexander Mattison.
If you don't have to play
if
them.
I'm not
yeah,
playing
of course.
Them. I think a lot of people might still be using their last bench spot on someone who can play like a Hubbard. But if you're not playing him, have the upside on your bench of, look, Jonathan Taylor just went down and now there's the mad dash. If Dalvin Cook were to go down, if Austin Eckler were to go down, Joshua Kelly seems to be the clear backup. If Najee goes down, Jalen Warren is the backup. Those guys turn into championship week winning running backs.
Are you fighting for Khalil Herbert? He's got 2 tougher matchups coming off of injured reserve. Detroit, you just talked about it. They shut down the run, and the Bears are in Detroit next week. And then Buffalo this week.
I'm not fighting for him. It's good to remember that he's coming back. Honestly, what he probably does is ruins a little bit of David Montgomery. If he is active for the game, they'll split the workload, and it's still Justin Fields as RB1.
Tight end options this week. You can look at Taysom Hill, 37% rostered. Had the passing touchdown, an 80-yarder last week. 7 opportunities on the ground. Like if you're telling me 9 chances for Taysom Hill, like, okay. Hope they go well. I mean, you got to hit one.
Yeah.
You do. I mean, it's Cleveland in the lowest over-under in 5 years, something like that.
In a decade.
Oh, in a decade.
Oh, man.
So there you go. And then, that could be the kind of game, though, that they just, he gets a few more opportunities on the ground. Evan Engram, don't pick him up, but Evan Schmingram has an opportunity against the Jets, 10 targets last week.
What does this guy have to do?
Currently the tight end 4 on the season.
Not like bury your soul when you need him most.
He's winning. He's winning championships right now.
Dawson Knox, I think, would have the tiebreaker over these guys. He's obviously been good the last few weeks, and he's got Josh Allen, so you can always rely on Josh Allen to throw a couple touchdowns, and you can hope it goes to your guy. And you talked about Chig not being a tight end that you could play this week if Ryan Tannehill has a legit chance of missing or even starting and then going out during the game.
Schmevin has had a really good year.
He has.
Shmevin, since week five, it would be on pace for 80 for 850 and 7.
Yep.
I don't know how he has a 1-for-8 game and a 1-for-4 game mixed in there, but he does.
In the middle, he did get beat up. Like, you can't tell because of the box score and the snaps, but he got hurt.
Dawson Knox, Jason brought him up. Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, baby.
Mike, I mean.
Lowest
over under the week.
I had to be excited for Juwan Johnson contractually because of how the year started of Taysom Hill versus Juwan Johnson. But looking at what he has done is outrageous. It's all on the back of touchdowns, but whatever. With this tier of a player, I do not care. But in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In his past six actual healthy games, he's been a top five tight end in four of them. Like, he's
tough to argue with that.
He's been so fantastic, and he just like he's got something going on with Andy Dalton. There's a little bit of a end zone meld going on.
Yeah, he's had two touchdowns, 1-1-1, and then two back in week seven. So that means he's basically got. What is that? 17 touchdown pace in the last seven games? You have to chase that a little bit if you need help at tight end.
Yeah.
Let's dive into the team defenses. Who's your favorite this week of the available options? We've got basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 options under 33% rostered at the defensive position.
I mean, I had previously picked up the Tennessee Titans. They've got some injuries that hopefully are going to heal up. They've lost four games in a row, and they're playing against the Houston Texans that were the matchup you just were dreaming about starting over and over and over. You wanted to target them. I think they're still good, but I don't know if they're number one anymore.
A little nerve-wracking, too, with Malik Willis, short field situation, turnovers.
Exactly. I love the Cleveland Browns. We've talked a lot about how the over-under in that game is – super low. I want the home team in that cold weather matchup. Andy Dalton can turn the ball over. You know, if I had to bet on a team to score a defensive touchdown, they're near the top of the list of the free agent options.
Cleveland taking on New Orleans at home. Do you take the New Orleans side too?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can go either side, but obviously in those situations where it's a pretty competitive, evenly matched, you know, similar defenses, similar offenses, I would always prefer the home team.
15-point implied point total for the Saints in that game.
Right.
The Chargers defense plays Indianapolis.
Yeah, I like it.
Bengals play New England.
I like it.
Steelers take on the Raiders. That one's always got some risk, man.
Yeah,
The Raiders have risk.
The Jags is
Thursday night.
The Thursday night, it's coming up quick here, but they're playing the Zach Wilson version of the New York Jets. I'm fine targeting Zach Wilson.
I think you need to.
I agree.
Know he's going to make some really embarrassing mistakes.
If you missed the play, I think we were able to find it searching like Michael Carter bailout or something where it's a positive play on the stat sheet. But just watch the decision that Zach Wilson goes with, the angle that he decides to throw the ball. It is just
it
goes straight up into the air.
It had to have slipped out of his hand as he threw it or something because you've never seen a more wobbly. It's like you threw it bad on purpose and you tried to spin the ball long ways. You
know, the decision to throw the ball is so bad. And then Michael Carter just bullies the defender and comes down with it. The fact that it wasn't a pick is ridiculous. But he is – I highlight that because Zach Wilson will do that. He will make bad decisions, believing that his arm can get things done that it can't.
That was Welcome to the Fold, presented by our friends at Samsung Galaxy Unfold, the edge-to-edge screen of the Galaxy Z Fold 4 to maximize your game viewing / waiver wire experience wherever you're at. And you can visit Samsung.com to learn more.
Full stream ahead.
So we're going to each give you a streaming quarterback option. Again, we're looking at, you know, sub 50% rostered players. It's a desperate time for the Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson managers. Those are three really big names. And so you're talking about bottom of the barrel opportunities here. And I'm going to bring up a name that I never thought I would ever bring up.
I went throughout the office, and I was like, hey, Kyle, do I go with the player I went with or the one you're talking about? Because it's time. It's put on your big boy pants.
I mean, these underpants are riddled with years of stains. This was Zach Wilson before it was cool. Sammy Playoff Darnold. Sam Darnold taking on the Detroit Lions.
Yes, he is.
And to me, you know Carolina wants to run the ball over and over and over again, but Detroit has been excellent against the run. You saw last week Deonta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard couldn't get anything going. The Lions are going to put up points against Carolina's defense. And most importantly of me even uttering good old Playoff Darnold's name, the Lions are the single best matchup for quarterbacks on the year, and they have been the best for the last 5 weeks. So they have been very consistent on giving up 20-plus fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. It's disgusting.
Yep.
But you are looking at – when you are aiming for a stream at this point, you are not trying to save Jalen Hurts with another Jalen Hurts. You're not. You're not going to be able to do that. You're trying to get 202, and then anything else is gravy from your emergency. You know, last week, the person who lost Kyler picked up Brock Purdy, 202. It was enough to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Darnold against Detroit, you're 100% leaning on the matchup, but I think they're going to have to throw the football, and I think Detroit's going to put up enough points to make them throw the football.
I do not disagree. It feels bad, but here's where we are. If you are having to stream a quarterback, I'm going to throw out Daniel Jones. He gets to play against the Minnesota Vikings, averaging 7.5 rushing attempts, 42 yards per game on the ground. Gives you a decent baseline. And Minnesota, I mean, you saw it with the Colts. There was a reason why the unobtainium underpant play of the week was Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan was on his way to an okay game, and then 33-0 happened, and they shut down the offense. Minnesota allowing the most first down via the pass, the second highest yards per attempt. Look, the Minnesota secondary is bad, and Daniel Jones, Darius Slayton, they could hit on a big play, and plus the rushing floor. So it's you could definitely do worse than Daniel Jones this week.
I've never seen a man with more going on in his head before he has to speak.
What are you thinking about
than
over
Jason
here?
Moore right now? I mean, he's having for those listening at home and not watching this man melt down on air. I mean, he is
reacting
reacting to his own internal dialogue in a conversation where his facial expressions are reacting to himself.
The kombucha lady.
I'm looking at the streaming options. The one that I had in, and I'm basically what I'm trying to decide is push comes to shove between two players. Those two players are Zach Wilson, who we just talked about how bad he can be,
how terrible a
play he'll have. He'll throw it. But keep in mind, like, Jameis Winston was phenomenal for fantasy when he threw 30 interceptions, because sometimes you need that to have to throw the ball
But he also threw touchdowns at the time.
So did Zach Wilson last week.
Zach Wilson was good last week. The Jacksonville Jaguars, since week 6, they are dead last in schedule adjusted fantasy points to quarterbacks. If you look over the last, I mean, just going backwards, and you look versus teams' averages, I mean, it's been forever since they haven't given up more to the quarterback than what that quarterback's average usually is.
Jason, I will give you anything to go for the ride on Thursday night.
You're saying in my league of record matchup and put
Zach Wilson.
No way.
Okay, which so then you can't possibly say this.
Yes, that is the answer. Okay. That is the answer. So instead of unobtainium underpants or iron underpants, I'm taking my underpants off.
Zach Wilson, it's radioactive. Like, you're going to end up terrible.
If I can't do this,
he has 6 passing touchdowns in 8 games. Zach Wilson.
Thank you for talking sense to me. I'm going Commando. Which means I'm going Gardner Minshew, because you know he's going Commando.
Oh, yeah, you know he's Commando.
He is still a viable streaming option.
He's free.
Here's what I don't think happens. I don't think that Minshew goes out and has just, you know, 8 or fewer fantasy points, falls completely on his face in a tough matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. With this offensive line, with the weapons, with A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert back, Devonta Smith, I think he throws 202. Hopefully he runs a little bit more than we've seen because he does have that ability. And he is a – if push came to shove and this was my team and I had to make that start in fantasy playoffs, I couldn't get myself to actually start Zach Wilson. Thank you, Mike. I would put Minshew in.
Russell Wilson is interesting if he's back. He has the Rams followed by the Chiefs over the next 2 weeks. Derek Carr has Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I mean, I don't mind it. Okay. He has Devontae Adams as well. And then Brock Purdy has Washington. So those are three other options that are – like, Jason, you already stashed Geno Smith. So that's somebody that you have as an option. You know, I don't think it's a guarantee he's better than these streamers. But he's somebody that is more proven than them.
Yeah, he's
been
on –
over the course of the year. And the Lockett thing, that's troublesome. That would be my only concern about Mr. – Geno Smith.
Yeah. Oh. Of all of these options, I would start Geno Smith over Darnold, Wilson, Minshew, Daniel Jones, Carr, Purdy. I mean, I'm going to be doing that. Obviously, the weather's going to be cold and you don't have Tyler Lockett, but I think.
You're not thinking about Minshew to stack with your Devontae Smith? Or you feel like that doubles your risk?
I was going to say, I think Devontae Smith becomes a, you know, I was telling Mike he's probably a 4-for-50 type of play this week. So. I would rather not double up the whoops there, and I'm going to be trying to pick up Gardner Minshew, but I will probably play Geno Smith. This week is tough for streaming quarterbacks. Next week in the championship week, there's actually really great options for starts. So this is the week where if you're in the streaming category, if you lost Hurts, if you lost Kyler, and you're still in the playoffs.
How about if you're not?
What, if you're not in the playoffs?
Oh, if you're not in the streaming category. You should still pick up good matchups for next week so you're not.
Yes.
I mean, Jason had Geno Smith already. Like, you're the Josh Allen manager. You're the, you know, Joe Burrow manager. Like, get Jared Goff right now or something.
Yeah, absolutely play some defense.
Jared Goff's my favorite. I mean, he is going to be at home in week 17 there, yeah. Against Chicago. He should be a top 10 quarterback play in championship week.
Yeah, and we'll just rattle off some other names because – you may need to be getting ready for the following week. You know, fingers crossed that you win. Goff, should he be there, would be sensational. Rodgers is kind of right in that territory as well, where maybe some people drop him, but he gets the Minnesota Vikings. If you roll with Daniel Jones, he gets the Colts. Andy mentioned Russell Wilson would get the Kansas City Chiefs. Brock Purdy gets the Las Vegas Raiders. And the last one, should Colt McCoy come back from the concussion, he would get the Atlanta Falcons. So if I think the bigger point is if you have Jalen Hurts, hold out your hope that you're going to get Jalen Hurts next week, but you need to be planning that Jalen Hurts is going to miss multiple weeks. So have your quarterback ready so that it doesn't you're not waiting for next week's waivers to run, and the other team also knows exactly what you need to go after. Handle your business right now.
All right. I think that's going to wrap things up. How are we doing over there in Deucer's Alley? We ready for the Christmas Day this weekend?
Doing great.
Yeah. You got anything on your wish list, Brooksy? Anything special?
Nah.
You want Santa to bring you?
Nah.
No?
Nothing on mine.
Fresh basket of apples?
Oh,
maybe?
There you go. Honey crisp.
Yeah.
I have an update here. First round of the Mega Bowl playoffs. And the shark from Jaws 3D.
Oh, no.
Is out.
Oh, no.
I told you your regular season don't matter. You,
our favorite shark.
I know. He is no longer in the Mega Bowl League. Skunk League, who went 30-0 regular season, did make it to the next round. I hope you don't have Jalen Hurts like I do.
Well, the truth is Jalen Hurts, you said it in the studio yesterday, carried tons of people to the playoffs.
I do wonder how many advancing to the second round Mega Bowl teams have Jalen Hurts, because you got a full game. You had an awesome week from Jalen Hurts, and in those situations, I'll bet a lot of the waivers are locked, so you're going to have a lot of quarterbackless teams in round two.
I thought you would be doing worse today than you're doing. You seem like you're rallying, Jason.
This show has helped me, because prior to the show, when the show started, like literally, music is going, I had very little life in my soul. I am struggling, but I'm doing better now thanks to you two guys.
That's what we're here for. Yeah. Oh, wait. Like, hey, I noticed you're doing better. Take this.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Thank you for joining us. It's time to make your move. Let's get that title.
See you later, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.